Anymore. They're still got a few, but it's because now everything is by, you know, the cell phones and your GPSs and all this type stuff. But, you know, it would probably behoove us to teach people how to read a map, because sometimes technology will not always be there. Has anybody been there where technology has not been? And sometimes you get to that level and it's like, well, what do I do now? You know, it's like, well, here, open this up. It's an atlas. It'll tell you where you're at. It'll tell you all kinds of things. When I used to go to business trips and stuff, I'd be riding with a guy, and I would be looking at a map or the atlas, and I would tell him, you know, what exchange or what mile marker this place is going to be at, because those things are on the map. If you look at it, it'll tell you what mile marker this interchange is at. And we get there, and he'd go, well, how'd you know that? I said, it's because I'm wise. No. It's in the map. It's on the map. It's right there. So we look at, now we take this from a prayer, from a travel atlas, you know, a road atlas, to a prayer atlas. And this is just taking us, you know, two states a day and lifting up needs around our nation. So I've got five, I think, left here. If you need one, be sure to stop and get one. I trust that you're praying every day, you know, for those that, we ordered 25, so, you know, we've got about 20 of them out or thereabouts, you know. And so I just trust in that you're being faithful in that. And, you know, there's sometimes I pray in the morning. There's times I pray in the afternoon. There's times I pray late morning. You know, it's that time frame wherever I'm at. There's sometimes maybe I didn't pray until like 8 o'clock that evening or something for a situation and in this prayer atlas. So it's like, you know, if you normally do it at 9 o'clock and all of a sudden it's 3 o'clock and you realize you didn't do it, that's okay. Pray anyway. It's not a set time. It's just, they take 5 minutes or 8 minutes. And somebody was telling me that the first day or so they prayed on it. And Wednesday, they were saying that how they felt something different. They felt like just a power, just began to just pour things out. And pretty soon that 5 minutes, it's like probably 10 minutes blew by before you knew it. And I've experienced some of that this week. Not every time, you know. But I've found some of those things to where you get out and you just begin to pray, and before you know it, it's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or 20 minutes if you've got that opportunity of time. So, and it's just things begin to bubble out of you. You go from one thing to another, but it is all lifting up other things, not me. Not asking for things that I need, you know. I found several times of this thing after I've prayed for the states and prayed for what they've asked for. There's times when I've been out here that I turn to this place and to the church that the Lord has placed here and seeing what He wants to have accomplished here and believing that there's still just some phenomenal things to take place. And it's like, Lord, when I trust we're ready when you're ready, and this thing, you know, whatever you've got left and plan to do here and continuations, Lord, that it just continues to work its way out. Amen. Dan's probably going to think I'm crazy, man, because this last week I just cut my normal path around here, you know, and I go, I was praying, man, as I was cutting, and all of a sudden I cut through the field this way. I said, Dan is going to shoot me, man. But I drove it very careful, very slow, cut it a little at a time down. I didn't take one big swath and, you know, all that. But where I went, but anyway. It's just, you know, then the next day I've got that done, and I just started coming out here walking. I started walking around in the circles, and I started going zigzagging and across the field and different things. This might sound crazy, but by doing that and taking a direction coming up this way and walking that way, it changes your perspective. See, we can keep walking in circles and things, and, you know, this is just me and spiritually, and I'm thinking about these things, that we just kind of get used to the same thing, and we're just walking around, and we see the same thing and all this. And for some reason, I don't know why the Lord just, you know, I had to talk to him a little bit because I said, Lord, you know what Dan's going to think of me. You know, what are the rest of the people going to think of me, you know? But I said, okay, Lord, we'll do this. And so anyway, it just gives me an opportunity to do some other things and just walking around out here. And it's awesome. You know, I don't know how many of you really come out on your free time, or if you got some time on a weekend or an evening. Now it's getting kind of chilly and getting dark quick. But I tell you what, you're missing it if you haven't walked this property, just you and God. Now I know God's everywhere, and you can walk in your bedroom and kitchen and all that. But there's something about being out in the 10 acres that we've got here and walking along those pines, because one day that I was out there and had about 20 or 25 minutes to do that, the wind was blowing. But it really wasn't where I felt it much on the ground, but I could hear it into the pines. I've shared that before. It sounds like water. It sounds like water coming up on a beach, because the wind come in and out between those pine needles out there. It's just a phenomenal thing to just walk and to listen. And yes, that's what part of prayer is. That's the other half of it is talking, and the other half is listening. Maybe it's 75% listening and 25% talking. That's prayer, right? So it's not like I'm constantly out there just, God, this, God, that, God, this, bless, blah, blah, blah. After a point in time, all of a sudden, I just shut up. And you just walk. And you say, okay, Lord. In my spirit, you're saying, okay. And I just shut up, and I'm just walking. You go out there, and in one of the backstops, there's a tree that has grown up in that backstop. And I noticed it, and I've noticed it several times, but I noticed it really close this time this week because I was walking and just noticing. And walk by it, and then I'd come back to it. And I got pictures on my camera because all of a sudden I go, I got to take pictures of that. So I get really close to this backstop with the wire and this tree. And that tree started out growing on the one side of the wire. And for whatever reason, whatever happened, the wire, blah, blah, blah. But the tree went like this, and then it went over this way, and it went between the cyclone or the fence, the backstop. And then it went this way, and it grew for a while. And then maybe the fence was kind of bulged out on that side, and it grew this way. You know that tree, from the ground all the way up to where now it has passed the backstop, has intertwined itself like this. Isn't that weird? Maybe it's just me that looks at those things going, God, this is weird. What is that, Lord? Is that like our lives to where we go through adversities and we all, does anybody here, have you made it up to this point in your life without any problems and adversities? So I'm talking to you guys that understand adversity, problems, situations that like, you know, what happened here, Lord? So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, this fence is like life. And as I've gone through my life, there's been adversities, and there's things that all of a sudden I've been this way, and there's this fence, and I grow through it, and then I straighten myself back out, and then it's something going up here, and then all of a sudden adversity comes again, and there's that fence. And he goes back this way, and I looked at that, and I thought, Lord, is that like our life as our lives weave through this life? I don't know if too many of us have grown straight up. You know, adversities, problems, situations, misdirections, wrong directions. Has some of our lives kind of started out like this and gone this way for a while? And then gone back this way and over this way? And then, you know, we're zigzagging and back and forth. But just because that fence was there and it didn't restrict the growth of that tree, because you go out there now and it's above the fence or it's above the top of the backstop. That shows me that if we just continue persevering and going through this life with all that God has given us, all that God has promised us, all that God wants from us, that I believe too, and I see it in lives, that we pass through all those types of obstructions and we get to the point in time to where it's like, I'm up there now, Lord, with my hands high, with my mouth open, praising and thanking you. And all those times going through these things, I was doing the same thing, I hope, because I want to praise him even in my trials. I want to thank him even though I'm going through a hard day. Because if I don't thank him even when I'm going through hard times, you know, that just tells me that I don't really have a true relationship with him. Because I've only got the relationship with him that is there when everything's happy and good for Tim. And I know that's not right, because I know my God is there for me when I'm going through problems and struggles and situations that, you know, and some of those situations, guess what? I put myself in them. Have you ever done that? Has your actions been the result of where you're at? You know, the outcome is where you put yourself type thing. And I can't really go up to God and say, well, God, how could you allow this to happen to me? Because it was Tim that did it. I'm sure God, in his infinite wisdom, looked down and said, Tim, don't do it. It's not going to do what you think. It's not going to be good. But old Tim knew a better way. And so I had to go through this weaving process through life to get to that point to where now God gets my attention a lot quicker. Does God get your attention a lot quicker now? Do you quickly turn to him now when things don't go right? Yes, I hope so. Do you quickly turn to him when you're having a good day? Yes, I hope so. I hope our conversations, we find in one of the areas in Psalms 119 and 164, where it's talking about there, about our praise and speaking to God, and it talks about, where did I have it here really quick? It talks about seven times a day praising you. How many here today praise the Lord seven times a day? Psalms 119, 164. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. We give praise to God for his works and his words. Hallelujah. That tells me that, you know, it's good to praise him once a day, but could you get to that level of praising him more than once throughout the day? That's what God is wanting from his children. He's just wanting us to just say, oh God, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful sunshine. Thank you for the trees. Thank you for the breeze. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the snow that's come. Well, let's hold off of that. Let's not get too far out there. Lord, thank you that we can enjoy the fall. Seeing of the harvest and seeing the fields being cut. Came through the back roads here this past week. I'd gone out and had some just oil changing things done on the van. And it's like I had to stop alongside this road and take a picture of a field that had just been cut. I don't know why, but it just struck me like, wow, the labor, the end of a time. You know, because prior to that field was bare. And last spring, it just began to develop growth. And then through the summer, it began to just really flourish. And the corn was probably standing this tall out there, you know, and just having a great season. And now it comes time to where it's gone through the process of what it's supposed to do. And then the farmer comes and says, okay, it's time to harvest. And now that field is back to nothing but little nubs, but it was golden out there. It's noticing the little things in life that God puts across your path, that you take note of and that you notice and that you stop. Now, before I stop, I look in my rearview mirror to make sure somebody's not following me. Okay, it's all clear. Stop. Lower the window. Get my little camera on my phone out. And just click a couple of pictures. It's getting a time away with God. Even driving, I can have a time with God. Can't you? I mean, I trust and believe that I'm not, you know, not driving to where I don't pay attention to, you know, stop signs and railroad tracks and, you know, things like that. You know, you're still attentive to those things, but it's those things that you just, all of a sudden, you see it. And you just begin to thank God about it and say, oh, what a wonderful thing. So as we go into times of prayer and we've spoken, there's many things that we've shared on it, and you've heard just about everything there probably is to hear about prayer. Prayer, 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 prayer. Prayer is this, prayer is that, prayer should be done this, prayer needs to be done, we need to do this prayer, we need to do this. We all know about prayer, don't we? I already know you know about prayer because to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you had to say a what? A prayer. Well, did I really? Well, yeah, if you talked to God, you prayed to God. If you said, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. But thank you for dying on the cross for me. You're praying to him, but you're really talking to him. We like to say prayer, and that's what the Word of God will say, prayer and praying. But there's also things in the Word that says calling out to him. When you call out to him, that's a prayer. I was sharing in our study of the when God's people pray that Genesis 4, 16 or 426 is where you begin to see where they called out to God. One of the first times of calling out to God back in Genesis. Prior to, you know, the first three to four and a half chapters, you know, God was doing this, God was doing that, and things happened with Adam and Eve, and then all these things happened. But then all of a sudden, in that fourth chapter there, we begin to see where somebody calls out to God. And it said to the thing that was before any of the other Old Testament people came along. It was just those that were there right then that they just cried out to God or called out to God. So this goes way back. So aspects of prayer as we look at it, when we pray, we're just having a conversation, we're just communicating with God. We're listening and we're talking. We're talking and we're listening. Amen. When we are talking to Him and either asking for something or thanking Him for something or maybe just carrying on a conversation with Him, we're praying. We're talking. Hallelujah. Isn't it good for somebody just to come to you and just strike up a conversation and talk to you for a little bit? How you doing, Lou? How's it going today? Having a good week? Hey, Rick, what's happening? You doing okay? Da, da, da. You know, these conversations that we have with people, it's just great to have those conversations. In our conversations with them, maybe we do find out that, hey, I've had a rough time or something, you know, I just need some prayer for this, or, you know, things could be better. Well, let's pray about it. But it's just having those conversations. That's just like when we have our conversation with our Heavenly Father. We're just saying, hey, God, beautiful day. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. You know, Lord, just guide my path and where I need to go. And Lord, I just, by the time this day comes to a close, I pray that I don't offend you. I pray that I hear you right and I do what you ask me to do. I want to bring honor and glory to you, Father. That's our prayer. That's our just talking and having that one-on-one with Him. As Christians, we recognize, I hope, that we are dependent upon our Creator. I hope we understand we are dependent upon the one that created us. It involves, prayer involves some aspects. Let's just look at a few. Faith. To have a confident prayer life, it needs to be built upon the cornerstone of the works of Christ. We find that throughout the Bible, amen? So we find out that your prayer has got to be built up and begin with faith. You've got to have faith to talk to someone that you don't see in the natural, right? You know, it's easy to go over here and say, hey, Jesse, you know, I just want to let you know I've got some things I need to be taken care of, and could you help me, and I could use your help for this, you know, that, you know, and talking back and forth. I can see Jesse, and it's okay. But now I'm going to the other side. Now I'm saying, oh, God, I've got some things that I got to take care of. I got a job interview. I got this happening. I need some help. I need some direction. I need doors to be open. I need some favor. Whatever the case might be, Lord, I want to bring glory to you, Lord. If this is where I'm, if this is my job and you want me to work here, you'll open up that opportunity for me to be here. But I'm praying in faith because I don't see Him right here. But I know that He hears me. Woo! I know He hears me. In that movie or that part of the video today, this young man that was on the wrong side of life, just going downhill, you know, the person came to him and he was doing some work for her, and she said, you know, Danny, you know, you need God, and when you decide to call out upon Him and ask Him, He will come and be there for you. Well, this guy says, as this girl named Wanda is praying for him amongst some other people, all of a sudden she just let out with a prayer outwardly. And he had to look at his face, but he's like looking at those around him like you'd be in this crowd here, you know, and somebody's praying with me here, and I'd be looking over here going, I don't know, she's crazy, you know. This person's crazy. That's what he's kind of doing. He's like, I have no way. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to go to God. I'm not going to come to your church. I'm not going to do this. You pray if you want. But when she prayed out loud, it kind of threw him a curve like, she's crazy. He was like apologizing around to his friends like, ah. There's probably a lot of times, maybe we at times have people do that, like, if that person knows who you are in Christ and they say, hey, Al, would you pray for me? And Al says, sure thing, Heavenly Father, I just come right now. They go, wait, Al, not right here. I just pray when you're at home by yourself, okay? I don't want to, don't pray out here in the middle of Walmart. Man, people are walking by going, whoa, whoa, and I'd be going like, yeah, he's talking to somebody up there, and just, you know. Those things can happen. But we, by faith, do that because Romans 1:17, for in it, and it's talking about in it, is the gospel of Christ. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is about that. So we walk it out in faith, but it's faith by faith by faith. I like looking at you guys in here because I can see faith growth in you. Just imagine where you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 25 years. Just think about those things in the past just a little bit to think, wow, Lord, I remember those days and now where you have taken me and where I have trusted you. And Father, wow, thank you for that faith that you've put in me, but now it's growing. Because it's growing, because of seeing things that you've accomplished through me in my life, things that have been accomplished because of my prayers that I have prayed to you, Father God. And I can't say that all the prayers that I've prayed to him always were answered, amen. Has anybody here had a prayer not answered by God? I have. Because he knew better than me. He knew the end of that situation, what it would be, and the way I was praying, yeah, it was good for right then, but for later, it wouldn't have been good. And so when those times come and I could look at that, all of a sudden the Lord brought it back to my mind and my thinking that, oh my goodness, Lord, I prayed this way and you didn't answer it, but it's because of this. Thank you, Father. Now, it might not have been just within 2 or 3 weeks, guys. This took out sometimes of years. This is the thing, before I really came to him and all that, I was still having my conversations with God and all this, and the things that I would pray about, and it was years down the road that, thank God, he brings back to remembrance some things that we've asked. Because he did that to me, and I thought, yeah. Because he said, aren't you glad I didn't answer your prayer like you prayed 5 years ago, type of thing. I don't know how many years it was, but it was like years. And I began to think, and I go, oh my gosh, yeah. Wow. Thank you, Father. See, our Father in heaven knows what we need. When we need it, how we need it, where we need it. That's, I think, where it falls into, let thy will be done, not my will, not my desire, not my wants, not my things that I see now. Because, see, I've got a shortened version of my life. All I see is like between here and there. But God sees from here to back there and further. He sees my life all the way from here to where when he calls me home to eternity. Hallelujah. He sees all of our lives that way. I'm glad that God just doesn't have just, you know, it's like getting back to this road atlas. I mean, have you ever been in one of those times where it continues on to page 25 or something like that? Because you're going on this thing and it goes like, and it goes, it stopped. Great. Now where do I go? Well, then you got to see that little box. Go to page 25. 3 or 4 pages back. Oh, here it is now. Sometimes in our lives, if we don't have God as leading us, we get to those ends of those pages of our life, and we go, okay, now what? Now where do I go from here? But with God, he would say, just turn the page, Tim. Here's where you continue on. Well, I'm down there now. Turn this page. How many pages in your lives have you turned following God? Wow. Be a title of a book. How many pages in your lives? We're turning them. We come to the end of a page eventually. But our Lord is faithful because we just turn it over and it just continues on. So we look at that as far as faith, okay, that's an aspect of prayer. We pray in faith. We look at it as a time of worship. Do you worship him in prayer? Yes, we do. And it talks about recognizing what is of the highest worth, not ourselves, not others, not our work, but God deserves our highest respect. It's not you, it's not your work, it's not others. He deserves our highest respect. Guided by scriptures, we can set our values in accordance with God's will and his standards, which are perfect. Isaiah 6:3, one cried to another, and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." If we look at it in Isaiah 6, and I'm going to go to verse 2, seraph angels stood around him. Each angel had six wings. They used two wings to cover their faces, two wings to cover their bodies, and two wings to fly. The angels were calling to each other. Everybody join in with me. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord all-powerful, for his glory fills the whole earth." Amen. Praising and worshiping him. "Holy, holy is my Lord. Holy, holy is the one that I pray to. He's just, he's fair. My righteousness comes from him, not mine. Because mine is filthy like rags. But my righteousness is his. Oh my goodness. And his glory, oh my goodness, fills the whole earth." Isn't that exciting? He fills the whole earth. We pray, and on this prayer 21, we're kind of focused on the nation of America, okay? But we've got to understand that God has investment in all of the earth. We can pray for all of the earth. Hallelujah. We can pray and lift up situations that go across the boundaries of our borders and across the great oceans that would take days to navigate by boat or whatever the case might be, or hours by flight. But by our prayers going up, our prayers, boom, go there instantly. God hears those things and he's possibly reacting, or, you know, he's doing what he's asked, what his will is going to do in those situations. But when he brings it upon my heart, I just need to lift it up to him. When he just drops it in your spirit, why would he drop in certain countries that I've never been to, probably will never be in? Could be that I've heard him on the news. Could be that something I've read. Maybe it's been something I've heard maybe 2 or 3 days back, a week back, month. I don't know. But all I know is when God drops it into my spirit, because why? Remember, part of prayer is not always talking, it's listening. Boom, God drops this into me. Well, if he's dropped it into me, it must be for a reason. I better pray. I better lift it up to him. I don't even know what to pray. What do I do? Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. I don't know. If I don't even pray in the Spirit, I can say, "Lord, I don't know the totalness of what's taking place there, but you do. Father God, I just ask that your will be accomplished in that situation, that you receive glory, you receive honor, and that, Father, above everything else, they see your hand prevail." That's a pretty easy prayer. I don't even know what I'm praying about, but all I'm going is saying, "God, I just want you to prevail there." Hallelujah. That's those prayer missiles going up, man. That's those arrows that we shoot up there. And it's trying to get to those points. Now, granted, that's kind of like a generic prayer because I don't know the specifics, but those are okay too. There's times we've talked about, you know, when we pray, well, there are things that we need to pray specifically about. We need to zero in on it like that, and you've got it like in your sight, and you pray specifically for that if you've got that ability to know exactly what it's all about. You know? But there are those times that you don't. And so we just, "Lord, let thy will be done." I guess above everything else, you know what, guys? I just want my Father in heaven to get all the glory. I want him, you know, and he's going to get it anyway. It's not like, well, if I hold it back from him, he's not going to get it. But I mean, I just know that I love him. And I know that I want him to be aware that I know where I'm at in that realm of where he's at. And I'm one of his, and I'm part of his kingdom. And I can take authority and dominion that's not mine, but through him that he's given me, and walk those things out, not timid, not fearful, but I walk it out in what? Faith. Because of what he has said in his word of who I am in him. It's not who Tim is in Tim, because if Tim is in Tim, I'm the Pillsbury Doughboy. But with him, greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. You know, there's strength, there's power, there's that dunamis, Holy Spirit in Tim. Dunamis power is existing there, and it's like dynamite. It ain't my dynamite, it's his dynamite working in me. But you got to know how to activate the charge. You got to know when to, you know, the old days, and I don't know, now it's all electronic, but remember the old days, they'd put these wires on, and I guess they still do it in some of these buildings I've seen, plunger, to where they lift the plunger, You know, connect the two wires and then drop the plunger. Shoom. And they drop the plunger, and then all of a sudden the little connection takes place in this box and it goes out the wires, and all of a sudden they go shoom. And then all of a sudden it's like, look over there, and it's like, boom. Sending the power. So as we pray, it might be to where you're holding that plunger. God has placed the plunger before you and the wires are connected. Now he says, all I want my people to do is just push that plunger down. Pray. Boom. Well, it's okay. Confession. We need to be aware of God's holiness. In doing so, we will realize our own sinfulness. It's like the prophet Isaiah spoke, Isaiah 6:5. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. For God to forgive us of all unrighteousness, we need to go before him and confess our sins. Sin will restrict the things that God has for you. We've got to be aware of those things. We've got to be honest with ourselves. God knows. We've got to be honest with God and just ask for forgiveness, repent, whatever the case might be. I don't know, but just knowing that sin can be that hindrance. If there's a hindrance between you and God, it's sin that will cause that wedge to be there that we've got to be aware of. And there's times that we may not even know it, and there's times that we do know it, but what about the times that we don't really truly know it? I think it's those times that the enemy maybe has blinded our thoughts, blinded our thought vision, whatever the case about it, because the enemy knows that if he can keep that sin between us and God, our prayers will probably, possibly have less effectiveness. And we just pray, and we just pray, and we just pray, and we just pray, and nothing's happening, nothing's happening. Pretty soon we get discouraged, and we said, well, there's nothing to this stuff. I don't know what the church has been talking about. I don't know what pastor was saying. I think it's just malarkey, because nothing's happening. When nothing is happening, and you're not getting a response back from God, I suggest you say, oh, Lord, forgive me, Lord. Where have I missed it? What have I done to cause that span of distance between us? I know you hear me, but I know there's something there. So, you know, be honest with yourself and be honest with God and just go before him. And when something is revealed to you in that of the Spirit, when the Lord says, and I'm not talking, you know, you guys are thinking, oh, you must be talking about some major big sin, you know. I could be just talking about the way you talk to that person. The way you were angry at that person. Whatever the case might be. Could be that sin is to know good and not do it is sin. It's like, you know, witchcraft, all these things. So if I know what is good to do and I don't do it, that's the same thing. So we've got to get to that point out of our relationship with God that we don't always run here and there trying to figure out why something's not happening. The relationship with God should just be a daily, everyday situation. We get up, we brush our teeth, we have a cup of coffee, we're talking with God, we're praying to God, we're blessing him, we're thanking him, we're moving on with life, and we just go through the day walking with him. Kind of like what he did before sin came back into the garden, where what did he used to do with Adam and Eve? Walk with them. He would come down in the afternoon, he was like, "Whoo! Got my creation here, I'm going to go down and visit them." How many times did he do that? He just walked with them, and they were just out there having a good old time, and all these things happen. And then all of a sudden, sin sets in, and they get to hiding from him, and that's what we do in our sin. We try to hide from God. He ain't going to hide from God. He's God. He knows right where you're at. But thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Thank God for being, you know, adopted into the family. Thank God for all of these things that have been accomplished through the Word that we can stand on and have faith in and be rejoicing in and be worshiping and be praising and be built up in, because that's who our God is. Sin. Woe is me. I'm undone. 1 John 1:9 says, if we do what to our sins? Confess our sins. He is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A lot of people probably like that, but we got to go back to where it says that if we confess our sins, He knows our sins. Do you know your sins? When you truly know them, confess them right out. You know? Hallelujah. Adoration. God has shown us His love through who? Jesus. We think of that. John 3:16, God so loved the world. He so loved me. He forget the world. God so loved him that He sent Jesus. And I just happen to be part of the world, and we're all having a benefit of that. Amen. God loved the world so much that if God can show His love toward us, we need to show some love toward Him. Don't you believe? The greatest desire of God is that we love Him with our whole being. Mark 12:29 to 30. Jesus answers them and says, the first of all is the commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And then the second one goes on to love on thy neighbor. But the Lord is saying, you know, we need to love Him. We need to love the Lord with every fiber of your being. Everything from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, we just need to love our God. He loves you. That's adoration. When love for God fills our lives, we will express our love in prayer towards Him. Hallelujah. So now let's go down to some things here. Praise, the natural outgrowth of faith and worship and adoration is praise. We praise God for His mighty acts. Psalms 152. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness, His righteous judgment. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Amen. Psalms 119, I talked earlier about this. Seven times a day I praise You because of all Your righteous judgments. We give praise to our God for His works and His words. Amen. Seven times a day. Thanksgiving, because of the forgiveness of our sins and being accepted as His people, He has given us righteous standings and a new heart. With that new heart comes what? A new life. We truly have much to be thankful for. You have a lot to be thankful for today. You might have come in kind of like, I don't know, but you have a lot to be thankful. Psalms 100, 4 to 5, enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise, be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures forever and for all generations. If the Lord shall tarry, I've got grandkids, and I'm already thinking like, grandkids, man, just think when they have kids, and their kids have kids. I don't know where this is all going to be, Lord, but His word, it's for all generations. It's going to cover those families that are still to come, if the Lord shall tarry. Prayer is not only a response to God's grace as brought to us in this life and of Jesus and the teachings of scriptures that we read and what Jesus spoke about it. You know, the disciples, what shall we pray, Lord? Well, pray this, our Father which art in heaven. As we go to God for our needs, this is called intercession, the needs of others. God's word in James 5:16 should give us some power in that. It says this, and we've said it before. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. It gives us the assurance that when we pray, that things are being accomplished. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I want to just close out here on just a couple of areas of when prayers took place. In the New Testament, quickly you can look at in Acts. You know, that's the power book, man. Acts, man. There's just a lot of things happening there. And 4:31. Acts 4:31. Now we find that Peter and John have been arrested. We get over to the point of 31. And it says this, that when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke with the word of God with boldness. We find things when we pray, or begin to pray, we pray in the Spirit, and we get hooked up to God in this time of prayer, whether it's here at the church or at home or wherever you might be, that, you know, things could begin to shake. You know, things are beginning to happen in that spiritual realm, and now we're seeing it actually happening here, that the building, woo, was shaken. The place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke of the Word of God with boldness. And the thing we want to go to there while you're there in Acts is just get over to 16, chapter 16. We find that Paul is in jail and some others and whatnot, but in 16, Paul and Silas are imprisoned. So in 16, if you look at verse 25, talks about it before that in 24, having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. And it says then at 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because it's not good to be a prison guard and have your prisoners escape. You will not live to see another day. But Paul called with a loud voice, "Don't do harm to yourself, we're all here." Then he called for the light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household." And then he spoke the word of the Lord to him, and all that were in his house. And he took them to that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and his family were baptized. And it goes on there, wrapping up this. If I go back now to just Acts 12, these are some things, power that happened in prayer. In Acts chapter 12. We find that Peter is freed from prison in verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison. If you go back before that, starting out in 12, it talks about, you know, when they had arrested him, they put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So Passover is taking place. Nothing takes place until after Passover. Squads of soldiers. That was 16 soldiers, pretty well made up a squad. So Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant, what type of prayer? Constant prayer. Earnest prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Well, and then if I go over to where, and in 12:12, so now this is, we're jumping ahead because now Peter's at the door. He's knocking. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together doing what? Praying. So there's praying taking place. He's over here now. He's in jail. Let's jump back to 7. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison and struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." Chains fell off. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, tie your sandals." He did all this. "Put on your garment, follow me." So they went out, followed him, and he did not know what was done by the angel was real. Let's see. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. He thought he was just having a vision, you know. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Prayer. Prayer. Prayer opens up doors. Prayer opens up the chain gates. Whatever is affecting your life, whatever is taking place in this nation, we know that by prayer, the gates can be opened. which opened to them of its own accord. They went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, wow. All of a sudden, now he's standing out in the middle of the street. It's like, oh, wow, this is real. Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, there again in verse 12, you know, they went down to Mary, the house of Mary, the mother of John. There was many there gathered praying. At 13, Peter knocks at the door in the gate, and the girl named Rhoda, she came to answer. She recognized Peter's voice, but because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. Now, could you imagine that? Here you go. The guy just got out of prison, you know, guided by an angel, went through gates, went through this, went through that, and now he's knocking on the door, and the person recognized the voice and just turned around and didn't even let him in. But she was so excited, she goes back to the prayer group. Woo! She ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate, but then they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so, so they said, it is his angel. Now Peter, he continued knocking, and they opened the door and saw him, and they were astonished. But motioning to him and his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. I'll say all that to say this. Prayer is effective. Corporate prayer, individual prayer, you name it. Prayer, no matter how you wrap it, no matter how you do it, it is powerful. Amen. With one, with two, with a corporate body. Hallelujah, prayer is powerful. So we know that things will be shaken. I believe through this Prayer 31 initiative, I pray and I believe that even in the months taking place from this, that is something that we can't just get to the end of October and say, okay, that was nice for then. This is something that has to continue on. And for it to continue on, I've got to pick it up and go with it. And I trust and pray that you go with it with me. Amen. Because of what the power is there, what is potentially there is, you know, we don't even know. But I know by stories, I know by testimonies, I know by the versions and things that I read and the verses and the chapters in the Bible, phenomenal things were developed and taken place through prayer. Hallelujah. So that encourages us. Does it encourage you that our prayers can make that difference? And so I believe as a church, I believe as individually, as we get into this and just maybe recharge our batteries in prayer, maybe just refocus a little bit, maybe just get back to that point of saying, okay, I need to pray more. I need to walk with you, Lord. I need to whatever, that we will begin individually, corporately, whatever the case might be. I know for it to be corporately involved, it's got to be individually began. Individually, we have to pick this thing up. And then when we gather together as a church, there's that corporate power. There's that additional synergy. That's that energy that comes together as we join together to lift up, whether it's the nation, whether it's our state, whether it's our president, whether it's our military, whatever the case might be. There's a lot to lift up. But yet we know that when we pray that there is someone listening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Father God, for your word today.